Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If anybody here is or has been a car salesman, or is the proud owner of an Isuzu, or has been, I apologize. But I suspect, and I may be dating myself a little bit here, but many of you may remember the Joe Isuzu ads on TV back in the 80s. The oleaginous salesman who would say, "Trust me, you can believe me." And then there were words that showed up on the screen beneath his image where Isuzu was covering itself by saying, "No, you can't, he's lying." That is not the kind of messenger that Third Isaiah or John is. We can believe them. The claims made in Scripture are true. Now, I have to confess, in preparing for this sermon, I not only consulted my commentaries, I spent too much time online watching old YouTube videos of Joe Isuzu. And he was that rare character in the ad world who had more of a presence than his product. And he was ultimately canceled by Isuzu because they didn't like that. And Isuzus are no longer sold in the United States, not Joe's fault. But you may remember some of the claims, and perhaps if you do, you're not using your brain for the best things, but he would tell you things like, "This vehicle is so roomy that it can fill as many people as the Astrodome." And then they would tell you on the bottom, "No, it could accommodate six." Or he'd say, "You could buy this with your loose change." And then they would tell you on the bottom, "If you had $10,400 in quarters." That's not what goes on in Scripture. There is no disclaimer necessary. The Bible is not trying to pull a fast one over us. Now, I have to confess, being a messenger in Scripture is hard work. And this morning I'm supposed to be preaching on the gospel, and I feel bad because I woke up very tired this morning. And that's one of the reasons I wasn't able to keep track of the liturgy this morning. But John went out there and did his job. And Isaiah went out and did his job. And we remember that this portion of Isaiah was what we call Third Isaiah. It was written when the people were returning from exile in Babylon, and things were a mess in Israel. And they wanted to know where God was, and why people were ripping them off, and why their leaders were disappointing them. And Isaiah said, "That is not your God. Your God does not like swindlers. Your God does not like cheats. Your God cares about the oppressed. Your God cares about the poor." And that is true. And what about John? John never refers to himself as a Baptist or a baptizer in this gospel. John uses the word witness a lot. And witness isn't just what you think about in terms of a court, someone who can come and give evidence. But a witness is someone who testifies to something. John is testifying to the glory that is coming. John is testifying to Jesus. John is self-effacing. He does not claim that he's special because he has this job. John does not want to get any credit that is not his due. So think about that. John became a bit of a celebrity, John the Baptist, as we refer to him. He baptized people in his ministry, but he told people that he was not baptizing them with the Holy Spirit. That was something that Jesus could do. John was witnessing to the arrival of God incarnate, and that's what this season is all about. God incarnate will be amongst us. And yes, I'm going to fast forward to Pentecost. The Holy Spirit will be given to us, and the Holy Spirit is present with us. But these are events that we should be rejoicing about. God has come to be with us. Now think about that. That is a really big deal. Now maybe you think, nah, not really. It's not that big a deal. But this is where I'm going to set aside what I do for a living and say, get real. God cares about you. God cares about this world. God has given us work to do. And yes, I can go through the litany of things I believe that we as a church should be doing. But don't you feel good that someone's got confidence in you that you can do these things? That's pretty remarkable. That the God who made the universe has entrusted the care of this earth to us. You've got a big responsibility. And I do too. And that is what we should be celebrating. Now, in a week's time, we're going to gather to celebrate Christmas. It's hard to believe that it's already here, but next Sunday is Advent 4 in the morning, and then in the evening, we will celebrate Christmas Eve. There's a lot of church next Sunday, and I've been asked, are you having church on Sunday morning? And my response is, of course we are. I don't think we can dispense with our regular worship of God because of a special event that takes place later in the day. But however you're present with us, thank you. However you're present with God, think about that. This is a great time of year to be thinking about the change that's going to be coming. And I know that in some circles, talking about light and dark is considered to be suspect or loaded, but everybody on this earth needs sunlight. And we take our electrical lights for granted. I can flip a switch. I have light in my home at night. I don't have to walk around in the dark. And that is a good thing. But the light that is coming into the world in Jesus Christ is so much brighter and so much more powerful than our lights. And yes, we might claim that we've got all the answers, but we don't. And that's where I'm going to invoke my friend Joe Isuzu again. If someone comes on TV and tells you, I can fix it, there should be a disclaimer showing up beneath their face saying, no, we can't. I don't care what party they're part of. I don't care if they're a politician or a celebrity. There is nobody on this earth who can make everything right for everyone. We need God's help. It's that simple. Now, the good news is we're not in this mess by ourselves. We have one another here to find support and encouragement. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. God has not left us alone to take care of ourselves. God has given us a community. And I thank the choir for sharing their gift of music with us before, because that adds so much to our worship. I thank Stacy for being our liturgist, doing a wonderful job of reading from scripture. I thank Dawn for being our Zoom greeter today, and for all of you online who joined us for worship. I thank Ernie for his playing the organ. These are things I could not do. One of my colleagues told me that she's going to be singing the Ave Maria at church on Christmas Eve. And I laughed, not at her, because she's got a beautiful voice. But one thing I will not do is sing for you. Because then the angels will be heard on high. And they will be crying. But I can admit that to you. And some of you have great voices, and I really thank you for sharing them with us. But you've got other skills too. And I invite you to share those with us and the community. So in a week, we're going to be welcoming a lot of strangers into our sanctuary. And my hope is that we will give them a warm welcome and that they'll want to come back on Epiphany. And then maybe come back on a random Sunday in February. and continue to come back. And I suspect that those of you who are here today have largely come back because you found something here that you found welcoming. If this is your first Sunday here, it's great to have you here, or your second Sunday. If it is your 105th Sunday, welcome again. Think about the joy that Joseph and Mary experienced the night Jesus was born. Think about the joy you may have experienced when a child in your life was born. It could be a child, it could be a grandchild, it could be a friend's kid. But think about the potential in the arrival of a new human life. It's pretty wild that this little person will grow up into a big person. And hopefully they'll do things of which you, as an adult, will be proud. Then think about what it was like for the parents of Jesus. They had a really big job. And I cannot imagine trying to keep track of Jesus as a kid. I imagine Jesus was full of energy and childlike enthusiasm, and he liked to climb trees. And God help him, he probably wanted to run into the street sometimes, but his parents stopped him. His parents were part of Jesus' community. People just like you were called to be with Jesus. So I'm not going to have a screen installed in front of the pulpit offering disclaimers each week. I hope I built up enough credibility over the last decade and a half that what I say rings true to you in some way. But God loves you, and God is coming to be with you, and that is good news. Let's join together in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of prophets like Isaiah and John. We thank you for all of the faithful throughout the ages who have shared your word and who've acted to make it real for others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.